Okay, everybody, let's get started. Our last day.
Say it ain't true.
I know. Welcome, welcome. So I'm Raisa. I think I've met almost all of you. I have met all of you. But in the beginning, as we've done every day, I love to get everybody's voice into the room. And we started our 4 days with a question we had. And I'd like us to go around, say your name, your pronouns, and another question you're holding after these 4 days that you're excited to explore. It could be about your creative writing. It could really be about anything. Just a question that comes up for you after these 4 days. Okay. Yeah, Brenda, do you want to go first?
Brenda, she, her. And so how am I going to live without these sessions? They fill me up so fully. And my last name is Foley. That's my question. I love these sessions.
I'm passing it to me?
Yep.
Oh, okay, sorry. I was looking down. I was like, I have to have a question. See? Okay, I'm Brittany. She, her pronouns. And the question I have is, how do I finish a poem when I've created rules that I'm constantly not following?
Maybe something will be unlocked today.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm Madeline, she, her, and I'm wondering if we're going to learn about the right side of the body.
Yes.
My name is Sarah, she, her. When am I going to learn to write? And feel good about it.
Beautiful question.
I'm Chris, he, him pronouns. I'm trying to learn to sort of hold this tension between that creative spark you talked about and the set of rules that kind of guide it all into something.
Great.
My name is Stacy. I use she, her pronouns. And my question was more about how can I stay gracious?
I'm Greg, they, them pronouns, and I'm just trying to figure out how to find creative space at home.
Beautiful.
Melinda, she, her pronouns. It's funny, Brittany. So I was thinking of like, how can I set up structure to help my creative giving place do the things? And then I realized Brittany's wisdom was like, no, how can I really just pay attention to the rules that I'm setting up? So thank you for that.
David, he, him pronouns, and my question is coming to me today, since today's topic I think is surrender. It's like, how can I explore the nuances of what surrender is, and not just explore from here, but live it.
Beautiful.
My name is Mark, him pronouns. I have an overarching question that I've been living with for a while, and it is, do with the time I have left. Mm-hmm. And Oldham is a great place to contemplate that.
My name is Lisa, and I'm she, her. And I'm similar. I want to, in my semi-retirement from the pandemic, explore where is new meaning.
Emily, she, her, and my question as we go out is, who can I share my work with? Judy, she, her, and my question, how can I stop judging what I write and just go with it?
Come to improv today.
He's got an answer.
I'm Mid, she, her, and my question is, why did I think I couldn't write? Because it only has to make me happy.
Beautiful. Yeah. Yes, Midge. I feel my work is done. Please.
seen you, but you did a good job.
Oh, thank you very much. That was nice.
Jeannie, she, her, and you know, how do I take this, which I came to very hesitantly, home and use it in my own life back home?
Bill, he, him, and Midge, I've cited you several times as a good writer. Yeah.
Now, two in a row.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that your question?
My question is, would anybody say the same of me? Accepting what my strengths are and limitations.
My name is Elvin, he, him. Will I be able to find time back home to for this process?
Christina, she, her. Similar question. How do I make space for a pause and reflection, and then build up the energy to write?
My name is Lori, she, her pronouns. And my question is just, what's next?
That's a good question. My name is Bernie. And yesterday, Sylvie asked me, are you a poet? I never tried to answer that question. I never thought of that question. And so I said, yes, I'm a poet. But my question here is, what do I do with it? I started writing spontaneously only when I was inspired in high school. Maybe one or two poems a year at times, and maybe none, all the way through to today. So what is what you're doing and expressing and so forth challenging on making poetry creative and maybe more effective in some ways? You know, I have to listen to that. So what am I going to do with it?
Beautiful question.
Yeah.
David, do you want to go?
Hey, I'm David, he, him. I guess my question is, for years I've done a lot of writing, but it's all nonfiction. And so one of the questions I have is, does this experience with doing more poetry style writing, is there a way to fuse that and help the other as well?
Brenda, she, they. I've just been savoring this time so much. I want to ask myself how I can best live into this as we leave.
I'm Ashton, she, her, and my question is, using the balance of kind of structure and order and like openness, spontaneity, how can I kind of create a world and an experience for my future children to kind of go forth into the world as you know, informed, kind, good citizens of the world who are not afraid to be creative but can also, you know, kind of I guess, you know, not necessarily like stick to the order, but
Cindy, I use she, her pronouns. My question is, what gifts will be revealed today?
Allison, she, her pronouns.
What did I miss?
There's a review.
There is a review.
Una, she, her, and the question is, how will this, my knowledge, excitement, curiosity about the tree of life, how will it unfold? How fast? I hope fast.
I'll stand up. Jamie, she, her. I guess I'm just in wonder. I'm feeling that wonder of, and it seems to me that
it's just so, it's just such a visual experience to be in community again, mm-hmm. and know how much that feeds my writing and my music and the, mm-hmm. the little bits of creative seeds. And they haven't been flourishing, so it's mm-hmm. it's feeling pretty astonishing. I think I can capture some of what this is and take it home to my little house by myself, but I'm looking forward to opening up like mm-hmm. I'm doing up here.
Beautiful. I'm Raisa. I use she, hers, and first, I just want to say thank you for your questions. They are so, like, I feel like each one we could just fall into. And I think...
There's somebody behind you.
Oh, that's okay. Emma Kate.
Well, I'm here to plug. My name is Emma Kate. I use she, her pronouns. I love all your questions. And in the lobby, you'll find you'll find these like teaching evaluation forms. They're in a little red box on a table. I encourage you, as you feel called, to write this out, say all the great things you love about Raisa and what you've learned from this week. Yeah, that's my plug, and I'm gonna scoot on out of here.
Bye, Ricky.
But what do you wonder?
I was thinking of how can I, keep a sense of creativity and noticing and integrate that into all the other things that I do throughout the day. Not gonna be like that. So you are great.
You are too.
Yeah, I just want to say that part of, I think, the surrendering is realizing there's no way we can possibly answer all of these amazing questions, even about the Tree of Life, and so just really honoring and appreciating all the questions you brought here. And my question is around community, and I think, how do I, in my continued work, keep reminding people that writing is there for them, and it doesn't live in this like ivory tower, but it's 1 minute away and your pen. So I thank you all for reminding me of that. Today we're talking about something that I have trouble with, which is why it's kind of exciting to teach, which is surrendering. And Madeline, you asked this really great question. Like, are we going to work on the right side of the body, right? Or the left? Did you ask about the right side? Yeah, so the right side, this is this openness, right? And so today we're looking at striving and acceptance. Actually, who is new, like brand new to this class? I just want to see. Awesome. Okay, who wants to help me with a little review about what the Tree of Life is? We do this every class. It's great practicing. What is the Tree of Life? Like, in what does this kind of Tree of Life, this diagram represent? Can someone give? It can be a guess.
Well, yes. The Tree of Life, there are 10 points to the Tree of Life, and they correspond to the 10 commandments.
Yes.
And it really kind of represents a primal process of kind of the creative process, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And there are channels, and there are 22 or 23 channels between the 10 points that make up the Hebrew alphabet.
Great.
And there's a flow of energy there.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. That was awesome. Yes, Mark.
So the way I think of it is it's the vessels with which the Ein Sof,
yes.
the thought beyond thought,
yes.
enters creation.
Yes. Beautiful, beautiful.
I see it as almost like an overlay diagram of a human being.
Awesome. All of these. Yes, Christine.
But even though we're seeing it two-dimensional in the drawing, it's actually fifth-dimensional in that it doesn't, it's not flat and it's not sequential. It's almost like a vortex.
Tesseract.
Everything is connected. Everything is connected to each other at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. So, and the story I've told now four times, but I'll tell it one more time because it's so important, is that
in Jewish mysticism, there is this idea that the Ein Sof, this idea that God is infused in everything. So the question is then, how can we have beings and trees and houses and all these separate things? There is this inward contraction, this pulling inward. And then it's kind of like a Big Bang theory, this explosion called Tzimtzum in Hebrew. And light was channeled into these vessels. And the light was so strong that the vessel shattered. And a piece of light was sort of embedded in each person, event, and thing, and that's Tikkun Olam in Judaism, which is the repair of the world. And so that we're actually in collaboration with God and the divine in the repair of the world and humanity. Thank you for letting me tell that story. It feels really important for the Tree of Life. And so the Tree of Life is essentially this... the best way we in Jewish mysticism knows how to capture an idea of what divine creation looked like. How did we go from hiddenness, Ein Sof, the primal void, nothingness, into manifestation, Shekinah, the idea that God is manifested in everything? And so the first few days, we looked at the primal triad, this first triad from mind beyond mind, stillness, pure compassion, to chokmah, wisdom, right brain, the primal point, this right side of the body, divine spark, to bina, understanding, left brain structure. Yesterday, we looked at the second triad, which is seeking inner balance. So we looked at Geburah, boundaries, like boundaries on one side of the body, compassion, openness on the other, the right, and then the heart space in between. And so today we are thinking about the third triad. So this is closest to the ground. This is also the other thing which we mentioned is that all of these points correspond to points of the body. So it's kind of like the chakra system in that each one corresponds. We are looking at surrender. Raise your hand if this feels like a challenge at certain points. I know I hold on really tight. Great. Okay, this is why this is important. Because I think this is, especially in our creative work, before we even get our words out on page, we're already editing. We already have this little voice, at least I do, and I, you know, this is my whole life, saying, like, this is already not good enough. Don't even try to write this down. And so we have... on the left thigh, so think about our legs, like think about movement. These are really important. Left thigh is acceptance, surrender, hod, gratitude, openness, acceptance as we are, just in this moment, right? On our page, the words just as they are without edits. The other side of this, the dream of perfection, which I also have in my writing, like we're gonna write the perfect poem, which is important, right? This can be really healthy when it's in some kind of balance in relationship to this idea of surrender. Right in the middle, we have tzadzik and yesod, which is foundation and balance, right? The pelvic area, feeling rooted. And the very base of the spine, Shekhinah, indwelling presence, right? So today we're going to talk about this idea of surrender. And the reason I'm choosing to focus on this is I think that many of our cultures teach us a lot about this, like striving, right? Dream of perfection. Does that resonate? At least I know this is very present. Like triumph, victory, making it this linear, straight line. And less about like, how do we just surrender to the fact that like our words on the page might be scrambled today, right? In meditation, like it might show up and we might not really feel fully excited about what's going on, and how do we be with that anyway? How do we sit with that? Which ultimately leads to this sense of foundation, the sense of balance. So to begin, any quick questions about that before we do a little bit on surrender? I know it's a lot, especially for you. How are all of you who are new? I just want to check in. It's a lot very quickly, but just wanting to give you an overview. Something that we're going to think about today is something, and we'll talk about this, but there is a kind of prayer in Judaism called Hibodidut. Does anyone know? Has anyone heard about this? It's really, when I first learned about it, I was like, this is beautiful. It's basically that you just go out into the wilderness and you kind of rant to God. You just start talking. So for any of you, you start ranting. So if any of you, for you who are a verbal processor, you just go, you find a rock, and you just start talking, right? And there's this thing that happens in our writing, actually, and I think when we do our free writing, that's going to be, we're going to connect to this piece, that just by speaking and letting this openness happen, where we're not censoring ourselves the way that we have to, right? We can't go around just saying, well, maybe some of us can, but I know a lot of the time we're finding ways to, like, some of us do. We are constantly censoring, right? So there, we're going to talk about how this can actually be really helpful in surrendering and finding ourselves. So to begin, let's do a little free writing, just a quick jotting down some thoughts to talk. I want you to spend 2 or 3 minutes writing about what surrender means to you. When I say surrender, what images come up? What does that mean? We all have a different relationship with surrender, right? What does surrender mean to you? And just spend a few minutes jotting some thoughts down. And as I write, I'm just going to read the questions for today's session, which we certainly won't answer completely, but begin to think about. How can we surrender into our creative worlds? How can acknowledging what is deepen our writing practice and allow us to dip further into our ever-flowing lives?
Okay, find a good sort of gentle stopping point. And I'm so curious, what came up? What comes up when I say surrender? I know we all have different relationships to it. What comes up for you, Brenda? Yeah.
Surrender is a pure form of acceptance, knowing that something is out of your control, ungraspable, incoherent to us, and accepting that with a pure mind of love and unknowing. Mm. It is leaving it up to the beloved, blessed, divine God and letting it take its own course without interruption or intervention of any kind.
Beautiful. Mm. Beautiful. The unknowing mind. That's really hard, right? That like sense of just letting things be. Beautiful. What else? What else comes up? What images, things come up in your writing? Bernie, yeah.
Surrender is acknowledging reality.
Mm.
The way each and everything is. Surrender is going beyond the first obvious level of reality to the deeper levels. Mm. By discovery, surrendering begins with self-discovery.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Anything else? Yeah, Bill?
I just wrote words, but surrender is, for me, it's show up.
Great.
Interact. To surrender is to interact.
Mm.
To be attentive. Be willing to speak. Make friends with judgment.
Make friends with judgment.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I said was counter to that was no judgment was the other side of that for me. And then I also, one of the things that's holding something softly.
Mm. Yeah.
Softly.
The open hand, right, instead of the grip. Absolutely. Yeah.
I came up with some things really different, I think. I have a lot of verbs, just thinking of myself, what I would be doing if I was surrendering, I think is where this came from. Letting go, giving up, trying something new, leaving a room, yelling, stopping talking, not trying to understand, opening, releasing, asking for help, going ballistic, looking for information.
Beautiful. Yeah, I love how different, this is so important, right? I think we can all have different relationships to surrender.
Yes.
And I really want to make space for that here because my version of surrender in my writing might be really different than somebody else's. Yeah.
For her, surrender was stop talking. For me, surrendering is start talking.
Great. Yeah, absolutely. There's no size fits all, right? Yeah, Mitch.
I agree with Judy that at first it had, I hope I'm agreeing with you, had a negative connotation, like giving up, like, allowing things, not defending yourself,
yeah,
kind of a thing. But then as I thought more about it, I realized in a positive sense, it's like a lot of what everyone else said, like openness to God, release of ego, lack of judgment.
Beautiful.
So it doesn't have to be just I quit.
Yeah, great. That's great, and I think that's a really, often we associate surrender with like laziness. I've often heard this come up when I've talked to people about it. It's like, oh, well, if I surrender, I'm not doing enough, right? oh, like I'm not actually going after what I want, right? And so there's this question of like, which is why this is so exciting, is like, how can we be in relationship and hold both of these things in us, depending on listening to ourselves, where do we lean, right? Like, which side of this, where do we lean? Where do we find ourselves leaning towards? I saw another hand. Was it you, Christina?
Yeah.
I wrote several words, but I was also replaying in my mind a moment in my life. When I was in high school, we did a senior skip day, and I do it in quotes because our teacher said, go, don't come to school today. And we were at the beach, and there's a dip in the sand. If you've ever been to the Atlantic Ocean or many beaches that are sand-based, there's a point in the sand where if you're walking, it'll just go dip, and if you're not paying attention, you'll slide and fall in. Mm-hmm. And I was hanging out in that in-between space when a big wave came, mm-hmm. and I got caught and sucked into a rip current, mm-hmm. and I couldn't tell which way was up or which way was down. I was just, all of it was water and light. And I'm there and I'm trying to, I couldn't tell if I was swimming down towards the sand or up towards mm-hmm. the air because I was spinning. And for me, surrender was the moment where I stopped resisting and stopped fighting the current. And I just let go of my body. And as soon as I did that, it spit me out on the other side and I could breathe again.
Yeah, that story is medicine. I'm like, it's medicine. Yes, there is a sense of like trust in there, that like when we're on the page, how do we trust what comes up there? How do we listen in? I've talked about being in relationship to our work as if it's almost a person, right? And so we're like sort of listening in, like what do you want to be or become? And trusting what emerges, even if it's a little strange, right? Mm-hmm. That first go around, and we'll practice that today. So I think there's this sense of trust that comes up, that when we can be with ourselves in our writing, there is a sort of leaning back and letting that editor sort of be quiet for a little bit to see what strangeness emerges. And there's two poems I brought. One, this is by Shira Erdman. It's an excerpt. We're not going to be able to read the whole thing, but it's in The Nation, and I highly recommend reading the whole thing yourself if you look up Somewhere Real by Shira Erdman. And I'm going to talk a little bit about her process, but can I get a reader to read this? Yeah, Lisa.
The game is I spy. The game is who can be quiet the longest. The game is hold your breath. There's a cemetery. Order me fries. Order me lungs. Order me around. Order my number. Here's a handful of pennies, a ketchup packet of sky. I know you're exhausted. Get in. I'm dragging you home. Roll down your window, the forecast is alive. The dog's kicking in his sleep, which means a brain the size of a lemon can squeeze a whole dream. Poor poet, get in. You never could say goodbye with grace. Lucille, get in. Dead family, get in. I want to show you something. I had no map when I started, and now, here I am. Somewhere real, called loving you. Mm. Mm.
Do you mind hearing this one more time?
Not at all.
Oh, this gives me chills every time I read it. The game is I spy. The game is who can be quiet the longest. The game is hold your breath, there's a cemetery. Order me fries. Order me lungs. Order me around. Order my manuscript. Here's a handful of pennies, of ketchup packets, of sky. I know you're exhausted. Get in. I'm driving you home. Roll down your window. The forecast is alive. The dog's kicking in his sleep, which means a brain the size of a lemon can squeeze a whole dream. Poor poet, get in. You could never say goodbye with grace. Lucille, get in. Dead family, get in. I want to show you something. I had no map when I started, and now here I am, somewhere real called loving you. Get in. And that line, I want to show you something. I had no map when I started. This poem is much longer, and when Shira talks about it, she said it came out in one go, right? And we can't plan that. That happens rarely, right? Like, there's no way to know when that arrives. And she said when she found that last line, I had no map where when I started, and now here I am somewhere real called loving you. It was like the poem unwrapped itself. That she was like, I didn't understand why I kept jumping from these really weird things that don't go together. Lungs and ketchup and cemeteries and dogs. Like, if I were to look at this, if someone were to say what this poem was, I wouldn't know how it could be done until you see it on the page and you get that full body. Many of us do reading this, like, chills. So there's a way in which the poem and the work itself begins to reveal itself if we can be patient and we can listen. And it doesn't mean we're all going to get the poems that come out in one shot, right? It's rare. It's happened to me a few times, and we keep showing up whether or not that happens or not, right? But I wanted to offer that this excerpt as this those last lines, and I'm curious, what came up for you in reading this of, like, the somewhere real called loving you? At the end, after all this, and the poem is much longer, this is where we arrive, right? The realness, the surrendering of, like, I had no map when I started. I still got in the car, right? And now here I am. What did anyone want to speak on this poem, what it felt like to read this? I find it a very visceral, like, I get a full body feeling reading it. Yeah, Mark?
I got the sense when I heard the last line that everything before it was like life.
Yeah.
It was, you know, ketchup habits that you save and watching your dog and a dream and all that. And not realizing maybe at the time that you really do love it. Yeah. You know, it's way more purposeful for you than you can.
Yes. Absolutely.
For me, I feel like, I'm one of those people that sort of internally struggles all the time, but now I'm working with college students, and I've worked with young people that are just really fighting to love themselves. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it felt like sort of this kind of wild casting of all the different things that we experience, mm-hmm. and sort of invitation to get into all of it, and yes. love yourself in the midst of it is what I heard, so mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. There is material in this poem, right? Like, it is so specific, and I tell students this, like, your lives are so full of details only you can capture. Like, each day, right? Like, I just want to, and I say this, and sometimes I'm like, oh, erase it, you're saying it again, but I will keep saying it, because we sometimes are like, oh, well, my life is boring, or this was this mundane day, and it felt, but when we start writing each day for even 15 minutes, we notice the particulars. We begin to notice the details, right? The ketchup packets, the dog today that's kicking. And I don't know your details, right? The only way I could ever know is if you wrote them down or we sat down. But even so, right? And that's the power of poetry, even if it's confusing or weird, this opportunity to be with our lives, right? To be with our lives in this way that just allows us to sit in the details. Yeah, David?
I forget who, maybe someone knows, who said writers live twice. I'm not sure who that was. But it's good. Yeah, that's what you're saying, I think. When we get to writing, then we live again in that space and maybe notice it more detail. The other thought I had is there's all these various things, all these things that seemingly disconnected, right? And I think the opposite of surrender, we could say, is control, or feeling like a belief that control is the way to the good life. It's a very American way of thinking, right? And what if there's something better? Like, what if the good news is surrender opens us up? And so we don't have to control or know. We can't understand or comprehend a poem in the way a piece of prose is. It's different. Mm-hmm. So how do we surrender to that? Yeah. I don't have to know everything.
Yeah.
And there's something bigger when we don't feel like we open ourselves up to something bigger when we don't feel like we have to control everything. Yeah.
Yes, beautiful. We let ourselves be carried by the poem, right? Mm-hmm. Not always, and it doesn't mean we're all going to be carried by the same poems, right? But it means that when, exactly what David's saying, when we can kind of lay back and be like, my logical brain doesn't understand why this poem means so much to me, but maybe I have to keep reading it, right? Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I want to say is that living twice, I'm like, yes,
And the joy of knowing that we write is that we land in our lives, we also land in them, right? So there's this doubling over, this repetition, but it also means that we're fully in our lives. Sometimes I feel like living twice, I'm living 5 million times because I'm rehearsing everything, right? Or I'm thinking back, or I'm living in the future. And by writing, we're also like so present with the details. So it's like both and I love that you brought that quote. Bill, yeah.
You're describing my favorite. The forecast is alive.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Life, life is get up in the morning. That's a great forecast. I love the title.
Yeah. Somewhere real. Mm-hmm. Called Loving You. What if that's the only, like, I mean, I know not to simplify the poem, but it's like, what if the only real place is that? Even that, it's like, how do we hold that fully? We can't. The tighter we have to hold it with open hands, right? Put our hand over here.
Yeah. I just have a question. You're talking about our poems.
Yeah.
Maybe it's too big of a question. Or
no,
I missed it.
Ask away. I welcome.
What is... So when we're writing, like, what is it like writing a poem, writing poetry versus just writing?
Beautiful question.
Okay.
Beautiful. I honor that question. Who else has had that question?
It's like, how do we...
Who else has had that question? Yeah, you've had that question. Anyone else have? I've had that question. I wish I could give you an answer.
I mean, is it always a poem whenever we write?
I think it could be. I think it could be. I... can tell you about my experience, knowing that it won't be maybe yours. When I write when I know it's a poem, it's like this heat runs through me, and I can't explain it. It's like this, it's a somatic experience. It's like this sort of shivery heat, and there's like a snapping shut, it feels. Like as if something in my life that I've been fretting over or a detail opens. It like opens up. And there's heat. And sometimes that could also be prose. That could happen in prose. But I'm curious, does anyone else want to share what it feels like to write a poem? How they know? This is a constant question poets are asking. So I just want to say that question is really important. We looked at prose poems the other day that are like paragraphs. So it's like, what makes that?
That's still a poem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was freeing to my mind. Yeah. I remember years ago reading a book by Albert Camus called Lyrical and Critical Essays.
Yeah.
I mean, so it was almost like they were essays, but they were poetic.
Beautiful.
And, you don't have to, there doesn't have to be a sonnet. And that, to me, that's a freeing.
It doesn't have to rhyme. It doesn't have to have
sonnet. It doesn't. I don't think so. Some people in academic places might disagree. I saw two hummingbirds looking at each other. And to be honest, I said, that's a better poem than I'll ever write. And I surrendered. There's a moment of surrender. Like, sometimes the world is so achingly beautiful that I know that I will spend the rest of my life trying to capture it on paper and not get it right.
Yeah.
But I will keep trying because it's so beautiful to try. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bernie?
I think... For me, poetry is letting go.
Yeah.
Just letting go and let whatever needs to be or expressed is expressed without trying to correct it to be the right thing. And that leads me to, was that your last session? And you had parameters and, you know, to elicit creativity. So I'm trying to put that together with
beautiful.
My way of writing poetry.
Yes.
And how do you do that? You know, I'm just trying to figure that out. Right.
Absolutely. Should we practice? I see so many beautiful hands, and I want to make sure we get your voices in. Was there someone behind me too?
Chris.
Yes. Let's, and then we'll do a little practice.
I was the line that really sort of jumps out at me is where she says, "Poor poet, get in." It's like she's struggling with this process right within the poem. She's struggling. This get in is where she, you know, it's getting real. And to me, almost the most poetic line is right before that, where she's talking about a lemon. Can squeeze a whole thing. It's so poetic to me. And then she says, poor poet. And then she's back in herself, struggling to get real. And so it's tension.
And there's a sense of accompaniment, which you bring up, which is really beautiful. Like, everything in her life is accompanying her to this real place, right?
It's a great invitation. When I read it, it's like, oh, she's inviting us all to get into this.
Yeah.
There's something here.
Yes, and I encourage this poem. I know that I think it's a really great way form to try as a practice. We won't do it today, but you can use this as like, what do you want to get in the car with you if you were going on a journey, right? So it's like, what in your life would you invite to bring along? Should we do some free writing, some practicing with this? So I talked a little bit about the Hibodhi Dut, and I just want okay, get to a good stopping point. Any reflections on doing that? On surrendering to that flow, whatever came through? Anything anyone wants to speak?
It's great to do two in a row. Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful container.
Yeah, absolutely.
This one was a list, which is unusual for me.
Beautiful.
You know, usually I have a context.
Yeah.
And this is snatches.
Great. Yeah.
Two random subjects, one just flowed and one did not.
Yeah.
And that was just part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, and that acceptance, even the way you just spoke that, of like, that's just the way it was. There was nothing wrong that it was that way. It just was, right?
What was interesting, though, is in the one that wasn't, because these parameters were keep writing, I kept pushing through that and ended up with something.
Absolutely.
Even if it was just the knowledge of that it wasn't flowing so well.
Yeah. Beautiful. And sometimes you end up writing, like, why isn't this flowing? Why isn't this flowing? Yeah, anything else? Yeah, Lisa.
My first one was more of a story, and it felt like a journal that I hadn't written in a long time. I feel like I could catch up with what happened in life. And I think that allowed for the second one to be just more of a poem instead of a story. Mm. So it was just more concise and...
Yeah, I had a teacher who described it as like this river that you dip into. It's this like river running underneath everything, and sometimes we dip our hands into it, right? Anything else?
Was the first one longer? Did we write longer?
4 minutes and 3 minutes.
Yes. And that actually was my topic.
Cool.
And it was really nice because then I've been really watching the trees when we've been hiking. Mm. So I was really able to just capture that. But then the healing one, I just wrote a poem.
Beautiful.
It was just like, it was right there.
Would you like to share?
I think I was thinking of my yoga teacher.
Great.
Stop and breathe. Drawing in to count of four. Hold, two, three, four. Belly flat against spine. Mm-hmm. Muscles tight. Breathe out. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Feeling your belly expand, releasing grace. Pause. Do it again. And again. And again. Release. Sigh.
Beautiful. Release.
Somebody sighed after
it.
Oh, that needs to go there, too.
Any other thoughts? Things?
Yeah. I'm glad she said it wasn't, that it was her topic, because it fit a poem that I wrote yesterday.
Okay.
And I was having a little struggle with the end, because it was a sonnet.
The couple.
And so I finished the sonnet.
I'm curious about the other topics. Could you read them?
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave my hat out, and I invite you to take one as you leave, as a writing thing, to take a topic with you. I'd like to end with a Mary Oliver poem. Time flies by. I wish we had a million more days to do this. And again, thinking of our tree and our structure. Can I get a reader for Sometimes by Mary Oliver? David, yeah.
Something came up out of the dark. It wasn't anything I had ever seen before. It wasn't an animal or a flower, unless it was both. Something came up out of the water, a head the size of a cat, but muddy and without ears. I don't know what God is. I don't know what death is. But I believe they have between them some fervent and necessary arrangement. sometimes melancholy leaves me breathless. Water from the heavens, electricity from the source, both of them mad to create something. The lighting brighter than any flower. The thunder without a drowsy bone in its body. Instructions for living a life. Pay attention, be astonished, tell about it. Two or three times in my life, I discovered love. Each time, it seemed to solve everything. Each time, it solved a great many things, but not everything. Yet left me as grateful as if it had indeed and thoroughly solved everything. God, rest in my heart and fortify me. Take away my hunger for answers. Let the hours play upon my body like the hands of my beloved. Let the cat head appear again, the smallest of your mysteries, some wild cousin of my own blood, probably. Some cousin of my own wild blood, probably. In the black dinner bowl of the pond. Death waits for me, I know it, around one corner or another. This doesn't amuse me. Neither does it frighten me. After the rain, I went back into the field of sunflowers. It was cool, and I was anything but drowsy. I walked slowly and listened to the crazy roots in the drenched earth, laughing and growing.
Beautiful, David. Beautiful, David. Right? Pay attention, be astonished, tell about it. There's no way we could cover everything in 4 days over 4 hours, but I want to say that this is always here for you, right? My email is there. Feel free to write me further thoughts and reflections, but this dipping into this river, it's here for you, right? Mm-hmm. It's here for you no matter what life is bringing. Yeah.
How do you spell your last name? Is it C-Y or K-Y?
S-K-Y, yeah. I also wanted to show you real quick this, Charles and Anne brought this Tree of Life drawing. That's Navajo, and I wanted to show it to the class.
It's so weaving. Wow.
This beautiful weaving they brought as a gift for our last day. So I wanted to show that. And it'll be up here if anyone wants to take a look. I'm going to leave my hat over here if you want to take a prompt. And it was just such an honor to be with you and to share your writing. And yeah, a real honor.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.